description of the knowledge that gave the science to the man, and the man plants the seed. So when finally the seed grows out of the ground, it listens. It's the nature of the science that planted it. It's the nature of the man that planted it. It is the nature of the origin of the science where it came from to help this man to have wisdom to plant it. Are we together so far?
Yes.
Are we together so far? So they say to us that the man took a mustard seed. Where did he get this seed? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, mustard seed, was with God. And mustard seed was God himself. And this mustard seed was given to man so that man may plant and also allow seasons to help the seed to grow. Because the seasons that governs the growing, the germinating of the seed, they must be God's seasons. It rains, gives rain. It gives energy. It gives ability for this. It allows certain nutrients to flourish in the earth, in Mother Earth, so that those nutrients may formulate the texture of the fruit, the texture of the herb. And they will say that the herb heals. Why is it healing? Because it has power to heal? No, because the science that made the herb, it was a science of healing. This is why the herb heals. Not because it has its own powers, but the fact that he who did the science to make the herb, he had intentions of healing. He imagined a man having a wound. And if that wound is there, if he puts this herb on the wound, it will get healed. It was the imagination, it was the idea of he who made the plant. And now he says to man, this plant I have given it to you for the fact that it will heal this and this. So the more you connect to God, the more you start to understand the science that makes certain things, the science that makes them to grow, and the science that makes them, and the remedies they contain, it all becomes a vision, a communication between God and that man. Sometimes that man will receive visions. Sometimes that man will be spoken to by revelation to describe and to define the nature of remedies and texture and nutrients that are contained in the plant. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying? You're catching what I'm saying? Yeah? Now listen to this. In the book of Luke chapter 13 verse 18 to 19 says, then he said, what is the kingdom of God likened unto? It's compared to a mustard seed which a man took and put in the garden, in his garden. And it grew. What happened to it when it grew? It became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. It became a large tree that feeds people. People sit under its shadows. It's giving a certain breeze in the air, a certain type of air, breathing nature, oxygen to the environment. And a lot of birds settled on it. Not only birds, there's a scripture that says that many people came, great, young, leaders, peasants, slaves, masters, and they literally partook of the nature, the covering of this tree. And the mustard seed grew up. They partook of the fruits of this tree. Leviticus 19 verse 29 says, do not prostitute your daughter. Hallelujah. Do not prostitute your daughter. Praise God. Can everybody hear me? So, in this teaching, the aim was to see people that you have the ability to identify the landlord. And when you identify the landlord, you identify who you are. And to excel the landlord's perversion and ability to control the land so that you may now govern the land. Isn't that so?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let us look now here at Leviticus 19 verse 29. We're going to find out a few things. There's a scripture that says, do not prostitute the word. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a what? A harlot, a prostitute, lest the land fall into harlotry and the land become full of wickedness. Did you see that? Leviticus 19, what it's saying to us is we should not prostitute our daughters. These laws of saying to young girls that you can do as you want, lose your virginity, have sex with many men, behave sexually immoral. What is happening when we allow our daughters to do these things, and if it's passed as laws given to us by our landlords, who we call our politician, the great white man and his supreme capacity, in which he now has a culture, let your children behave anyhow. But he's telling our daughters, so the daughters are connected to the land, because the daughter is a reflection of the land. Now he says, when we prostitute our daughters and cause her to be a harlot, what happens? The land falls into harlotry. Now, I want to explain this very clearly. And the land becomes full of what? Wickedness. I've been talking to somebody, and somebody says to me, the problem that we have in this day and age, the land is full of foreigners. Whenever you see a land that is full of foreigners who do not care about the land, they come to just manipulate the land to get what they want, to abuse the economical system. When foreigners come in the country, they take what they want from the country to make their homes better. So where they have come, in the place where they have come, you can look like you have a lot of visitors, but these foreigners now are bringing in foreign gods, foreign behaviors, and foreign bad manners. And lest the land fall into harlotry. How does the land fall into harlotry? When people now are coming and they are sexually joining themselves with women of the land without any respect and mutual respect towards the culture and towards the people that own the land. Is anybody coming, catching what I'm saying? When we now prostitute our daughters, the land will bring a lot of investors that will invest in the land, but taking away the biggest portion of the blessing and economy of the land. This is where you have foreigners coming, selling their stuff, Chinese coming, taking over the entire system of how to make money in the land. They are even designing things and they are bringing them and enforcing them over the people in the land. But the people in the land, they are just buying and consuming. But they are not producers. When you see such things happening, the people of the land are suffering under the oppressing powers of those who hate them, those who pretend to be investors in their country, but they are taking away from them. They are not giving back to these citizens. And the citizens have finally become consumers of material things. It means somewhere, somehow, that the daughters of that land, they have been turned into prostitutes, and now the land is suffering under something that is called harlotry. The land has become a prostitute. It brings in many men, he brings in many business owners, but these business owners are not benefiting the land. They are literally, you know, robbing from the land. Listen what Leviticus chapter 19, verse 29 says. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a harlot, lest the land fall into harlotry and the land become full of what? Full of wickedness. Right now, as I speak, most of the daughters, they have been turned into harlotry and harlots in one of the land that I'm in right now, is Uganda. So we're praying for the change in this area. We are seeing a lot of women, wherever prostitution increases and women have no respect for their own bodies. Why? Because they have never been told so. They have turned into prostitutes. Even slavery takes over the place. Women are boarded on planes, taken to Arab countries and other countries to work as slaves from Uganda. they've talked about, there've been a complaint saying that there's a decrease of women in Uganda because many women have been.
This message will be continued in the next part. You've been listening to the voice of Apostle Ngabo from the Council of Ngabo, God's Quota, who celebrate Uganda in the land of Ham, the land of Kush, the Pearl of Africa. I'm saying God bless.